the 1950s, I went to live there and write this book, it was enjoying an agreeable sort of epilogue. Enough of the old tristesse survived to satisfy my yearnings, but the sense of defeat was gone. Venice was no longer nostalgic for its magnificent past, but revelled in its exuberant present. Tourism had returned to the city in reasonable proportions, and I like to think that the Piazza San Marco, thronged once more with cosmopolitan visitors, in essence looked much as it must have looked to Canaletto. The city was still a true organic city, inhabited for the most part by native-born Venetians, living by its wits, as it always had, a port, and a place of noble presence. I suggest somewhere in the book, I think, that it might well aspire to be the capital of a united Europe. It was a happy medium, a balance between reality and pretense, reality being the living city, pretense the tourist show. But by the nature of our times, in the end, pretense won. By the time it entered the 21st century, Venice had become, above all, a marvellous museum. Half the indigenous population had gone away to live on the mainland, cruise ships dominated the port, and the pressure of tourism had become so overwhelming that even Canaletto, who relished a crowd, might have been deterred. I read